Good morning, and welcome to worship at Johnson Memorial United Methodist Church. It is always good to see you and to welcome you as folks are trickling in from Sunday school classes that met together this morning. Always good to be together as the family of God in this place. We share the news of the death of Phyllis Moore. Phyllis, you know, usually sat in the back near where her son Kelly is seated now. Wave, Kelly, if you will. Phyllis was 92, had not been ill, but Thursday night, Sister Barry had seen her. Everything was fine, was taking groceries to her Friday morning and found her. She had died through the night or very early morning, very peacefully. So her memorial service will be Tuesday at 1 o'clock at Klingel Carpenter Mortuary on 6th Avenue. So we'll want to keep Phyllis and others in our prayers and as we commend her spirit to its eternal rest with God. Ruth Gilbert has our announcements for what's happening this week.
Welcome to Johnson Memorial United Methodist Church, and we're glad you're here today. Please sign the attendance pad, pass it back down to the left, and look and see if there's anybody on your row that you don't know, and greet them after the church. After church, exercise opportunities, of course, are in the worship folder. And there are a couple of meetings this week. Stewardship and Finance Committee meets tomorrow evening at 7 in Andrew's Brothers' room. And then Lay Leadership Committee meets Tuesday evening at 7 in Andrew's Brothers' room. And then Andrew's Brothers will meet on Wednesday at 7 a.m. They're busy this week. Our backpack ministry has increased to 30 students now from Peyton School. And more information is in the worship folder about ways you can assist with this important program. And you do get a good feeling when you take it to the school and see how needy the children are that get these backpacks every week. Next Sunday, following the late service, is the annual soup and sandwich luncheon sponsored by the church staff as a fundraiser for the church budget. Alan is preparing soup that will be consistent with the Daniel plan. Nancy's fancy potato broccoli soup will not. Oh, goodness. Whoa. Soups, sandwiches, and desserts. Cost is my donation. Soup will be warm, and so will the friendship. Please plan to stay after worship for the luncheon next week. Again, welcome to Johnson Memorial, and we're glad you're here, and hope to see you next Sunday.
Thank you, Ruth. Are there other concerns or announcements we should share with one another? It is good to be in worship, and we prepare now mind and heart for morning worship. Sure, we will certainly have her in our prayers. Thank you, Lillian. Other concerns or announcements we should share? Let us be in the attitude of prayer as we prepare for worship.
O Lord, you have searched us, you know us by name, and our thoughts you discern through our days. You know when we sit, when we lie, when we rise. You're acquainted with all of our ways. O Spirit of God, as we gather today, by your Spirit, our living ordain, with birthly, sisterly love for all, to the world where you reign. Join with me, if you will, a litany for Human Relations Day in honor of the Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We remember this day the demands of Moses and the conviction of Martin Luther King, Jr. that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Therefore, we pray for courage and determination by those who are oppressed, and we pray that we would discern the needs of others. We remember Dr. King's insight that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects us indirectly. Therefore, we pray that we may see nothing in isolation, but may see ourselves bound to one another and to all people under heaven. We remember Dr. King's lament that the contemporary church is often a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structures of the communities and the nations are consoled by the church's silent and often vocal sanction of things as they are. Therefore, we pray that neither this congregation nor any body of Christ's people may be silent in the face of wrong, but that we may challenge the status quo when that is God's call on us. We remember Dr. King's hope that dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities, and in some not too distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation with all their scintillating beauty. Therefore, faithfully we pray for strength and courage to be the people of God who speak and work for justice. We commend ourselves and our work to the goodness of Almighty God. Please stand now if you're able and join with me in singing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Thank you.
welcome. And I'm glad you're here because today we have a story about Jesus. As you might guess, today's story, and we'll read the scripture in a moment, but it's the story where Jesus goes and finds Philip, and then Philip goes and tells his friend about this magical Jesus person. And when he hears about Jesus, he doesn't believe all that he hears. He hears great things, but he finds out that Jesus is from a place called Nazareth. And I guess at the time, Nazareth was a place that wasn't that popular and nobody good came from there. And that's what he said. He said, how can anything good come from Nazareth? And so what he was told was, well, you just need to come and see. So I brought with me some things that I had questions about. And maybe you've seen these before. These are little pieces of fruit in a bag, but they're not real fruit. It's called a fruit snack. And now the kids love these. They're like gummy bears. Do you love these? Do you really? See, when I first heard about these, I said, that doesn't sound very good at all. In fact, I said, that sounds like something that I wouldn't want to eat or even give to people. But when I found out about them, and people kept telling me about them, they said, you have to try it. You have to see what it's all about for yourself. And so you know what? I did try these, and I did find that they were pretty tasty. So what we have is what I understood to be something nasty, but when I tried it for myself and I went to see for myself, it turned out I loved it. So what we're called to do as disciples of Christ is we know how great Christ is and we know the things he's done for us. But when we tell people about him, sometimes they probably will say, well, I don't know. I can't believe those things are true, or I can't believe that he would do those things for you. And so what do we say? Come and see. Come and see what Christ has done for me, and come and see what Christ will do for you. Think we can do that? And maybe when you talk to your friends about Christ and things that he's done for you, you can convince them to come here or go to church and find out for themselves what it's about. Because we can't always share what something good is in our own minds and share those words. Sometimes we just have to go see for ourselves what's great. And in fact, in Psalms it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I have for you some Welch's fruit, and I'll tell you what, you can take these back and hand these out as you go back to people so they can taste and see that these are not as bad as you might think. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we are able to taste and see and know that you are good. Let us be the people that can spread the word and also bring people to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Hear these words from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I have told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This time we'll continue our worship with our gathering of gifts and tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Holy Lord, we do present to you these gifts. We present also ourselves. We hear you calling us. We hear you receiving us. We hear you giving us tasks to perform in the building of your kingdom. Use these gifts and use us to serve you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And of course, we wrap our prayers into the prayer shawls and send them to folks who will receive the love of this congregation. Will you greet one another in the name and spirit of Christ our Lord?
Please be seated, and we'll continue our worship with a morning prayer. God called to know and to love and to follow him, and we pray to God as a church together. Shall we pray? Gracious God, speak to your listening church and send it to point eagerly to the many ways in which you reveal your life-giving presence. Be with us and guide us at Johnson Memorial, in our connectional congregations of the United Methodist Church, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and all who serve you. Lord, we pray that you will renew the face of the earth, that you will heal the wounds of human carelessness which it is inflicted on creation, and that you will rouse us, your people, to increase our care of land and water. Lord, restore and strengthen our world leaders. Give them a clear vision of your power to move hearts and to move minds, and enable them to act with justice and compassion. Lord, refresh the depressed and the despairing. Comfort those who weep and mourn. Give companionship to the lonely and healing to the sick. Lord, we pray that you be with those that we've listed in our worship folder and that Lillian's raised before us this morning, and those that we've lifted up in our Sunday school classes and those that are on our hearts and on our minds this day. Lord, we pray that you will fill your church with a renewed zeal to love our neighbor as you love us. Lord, we pray that you will open our mouths to invite our friends and our neighbors to come and to see. Lord, we pray that you will guide our hands and our feet to be your loving presence in the lives of our neighbors, both near and far. Make us free in your presence to raise to you our individual petitions that we've shared aloud or we share in the silence of our hearts. Lord, we bless you for revealing yourself in the saints and in each other. Lord, bring us with them into the fullness of your glory. Trusting in your love and healing, O God, we commend to you all of those for whom we pray, knowing that you will hear and you will answer through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you will stand now, and if you're able, and sing with me our next hymn, In the Bleak, Open My Eyes That I Might See, United Methodist Hymnal 454.
Please be seated. As the lectionary makes its journey through a good bit of the Bible over a three-year period of time, there are some stories that revisit us that are a little more special than others, or at least they are to me, and maybe you find some that have some special joy or meaning or sensitivity to you, and this is one of those for me. This is a story in the book of 1 Samuel that begins as a charming, lovely story about a little boy who couldn't sleep one night. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. Samuel was the son of Hannah, who was an older woman who had not been able to bear a child, and she had gone to the priest Eli to make her vow to God that if God would grant her desire to have a child, she would offer him as a servant of God in the temple. And as the story unfolds, Hannah did conceive and bear a child, and she did offer him and present him in the temple to be a servant of Eli, who was the priest. And as she did so, she offered what is known as the Song of Hannah, which is lovely poetry. "My soul, my heart magnifies the Lord." Go back a chapter or two in 1 Samuel and begin reading, and you'll come across this, and then you'll read further as the story unfolds. This is a wonderful story as it gives to us a word about calling. All of the scriptural passages prescribed for today by the lectionary, from the psalm, from the Old Testament reading, from the lesson that Aaron read about the call of Philip and Nathaniel, all are about calling. We have come through the Advent season and the Christmas season. We've come through Epiphany, and we are in Epiphany now. We are in that season where we consider the calling of God upon our lives and ahead of the Lenten season. In this last year, we used much of Luke's account of the gospel, the nativity narratives, and Luke borrowed pretty heavily from Samuel in writing a lot of what his nativity narrative was. He picked up from the Song of Hannah what became Mary's song, the Magnificat as we know it, "My soul magnifies the Lord," quoting a strong parallel with the Song of Hannah as she sang to God. And there are other parallels between Luke and Samuel as it is written. In Luke, there is the story of Simeon and Anna, older people in the temple when Mary and Joseph presented the boy Jesus, parallel to Eli, the older priest who was to supervise the young lad Samuel. And then there was another story in Luke that doesn't occur anywhere else of the adolescent Jesus, the 12-year-old boy who was in the temple, remained there in the temple when his parents had gone back home in the council of those who were older, surprising them with what he knew and who he was, the parallel to Samuel's service to Eli in the temple. But the charm of the story really hits the wall pretty quickly. It becomes heavy and profound. Eli's sons, who ordinarily would inherit his position as priests in the temple, had become corrupt. Eli had tried to draw them back into holiness, but he had failed, and their corruption continued. When Samuel realized that it was the Lord who was calling him in the night, he quickly discerned that God had a pretty difficult message for him, this young lad, to give to Eli, the older priest in the temple. And the message that Samuel was to give to Eli was that God was displeased with Eli and with Eli's sons, and that their leadership was going to be ripped away. God is going to remove from the house of Eli its succession of temple priesthood, and God is going to punish them for all of their misdeeds. And it is this young Eli who is to bear this message to his revered mentor, or Samuel, who's to give this message to his mentor, Eli. The gospel lesson from John is another call story. It's a story of the call of Philip and Nathanael. Now, if you remember in other conversations about the book of John, John has such a high and elevated view of Jesus that there are different things we learn from Matthew, Mark, and Luke that we do not read in John, or John tells them entirely differently. For example, in Matthew and Mark and Luke, Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, the subject of last week's worship. But in John, Jesus is high and elevated and doesn't need to be baptized. So John tells of Jesus' presence at a baptism, but not that he was baptized. And then in Matthew and Mark and Luke, Jesus is driven away into the wilderness to be tempted for those 40 days and 40 nights. Not in John. According to John, Jesus isn't driven anywhere. He's not sent anywhere. Jesus does everything on his own. He is under total control of everything that he does and says, and even under control, in control of things that happen to him. There are wonderful nuances in this story in John. Jesus, again, was not led anywhere. As that text began, he decided to go to Galilee. He wasn't sent there, not led. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. And before Philip can introduce Nathanael, Jesus had spotted him under the fig tree. When I read this text and see that under the fig tree, I think of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the village blacksmith, and many of you may have had to learn and recite, "Under a spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands." I see mouths moving. "The smith, a mighty man was he, with strong and brawny arms, hands, with large and sinewy hands." I'm not even remembering it right. "And the muscles of his brawny arms as strong as iron bands. His hair was crisp and black and long. His face is like the tan. His brow is wet with honest sweat. He earns whatever he can. And he looks the whole world in the face, for he owes not any man." The verses go on, and children are walking home from school, and they look in on him as they see the sparks and the flames fly with the measured beat of the hammer on the anvil. And the Sabbath day comes, and here the blacksmith is with his children in church, sitting with his sons, and he hears the voice of his daughter in the choir, and her voice reminds him of their mother, who now is singing in paradise, and the tear comes to him. And then there is this last verse, thanks to thee, my worthy friend, for the lesson thou hast taught. Thus at the flaming forge of life our fortunes must be wrought. Thus on its sounding anvil shaped each burning deed and thought." It's an ode to a strong and honest citizen. And Jesus describes Nathanael as such a person. I digress with the poem, but it is a lovely ode to good citizenship, and many of us learned that in school. As the story of the calling of Philip and Nathanael goes along, it's clear that Jesus is not only deciding where to go next to Galilee, but who will be his traveling companions. And this opens the classic biblical dilemma. God has chosen humankind to inherit the abundant life that God had promised. And the dilemma is the choice that humanity has, that we have, once we hear the call. Do we follow the ways of God, or do we not? Jesus is calling these people, Andrew and Peter already, and then Philip, and Philip finds Nathanael to follow him. And they've got to make active choices, which they do. John agrees with the gospel accounts of Matthew and Mark and Luke that it is not enough just to believe in Jesus. Discipleship is to follow Jesus. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. A disciple is a learner. It's what the word means. It means continually learning the ways of Jesus and then following him. And following him might not be easy. It might take us to a cross that we might have to bear. There's something else to love about the calling of Nathanael. Philip is a new convert, of course, and he's excited to tell his story. And you know new converts. You know people who have quit smoking and now they're the most rabid non-smokers on the face of the earth. You know people who have found their way to deal with other addictive demons and now they want others to, and they are just thrilled with their news and excitement and want to say, to call others. Philip is such a new convert. He's excited. He spots Nathanael under this fig tree. And he says to Nathanael, we have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. It is Jesus. It is the son of Joseph from Nazareth. He's the one. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That famous quote of Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip's reply is very simple. As Alan said to Ryan, come and see. That's all the message was. Come and see. Come and see. Philip doesn't launch into any real long, lengthy stories about the Old Testament prophecies. He doesn't talk about all the stories of the coming Messiah, the one who will come sent by God. There are no lengthy biblical proofs. There aren't any long sermons to make his point. To Nathanael's question, Philip simply says, come and see. Nathanael's call is not a story of some sinner who encounters God and turns his life around. Jesus has recognized Nathanael as the village blacksmith, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He is one of honesty and integrity, and Jesus already recognizes it. Nathanael might be a lousy poker player because there is no deceit in his face or in his eyes, but he would make a great friend, a loyal follower of Jesus. And Christ honored his honesty, his sincerity, his genuineness, his integrity. There are countless remarkable stories in the Bible and countless stories in common life and maybe even in our own lives of miserable sinners who encounter God and repent of their former ways, turning to a new way of following God, turning toward a new life with God. And here's an equally remarkable story of Jesus who takes someone who is humanly praiseworthy, Nathanael, and makes something even more of him, a disciple. Disciples are learners, remember. It's the definition of disciple. Disciples continue in their learning. They don't just believe, they follow. God calls sinners, ordinary folk, praiseworthy people. He even calls people from no-count towns like Nazareth and no-count regions of the world like Galilee. Now, I wouldn't say the Western District of the United Methodist Church in West Virginia is no count, but God can also call us here. Calling. God called Samuel in the night. Jesus called Andrew and Peter, and then he called Philip. Have you heard God calling you? Has God sometime, somewhere, somehow stirred your heart, stirred your mind, stirred your spirit? Have you been moved by something you sensed and knew was beyond yourself? It was from God that has called you to a new level of following Christ in the world? to bring that real down to earth. Do you wonder sometimes why someone doesn't do something in the church when maybe it's left undone because God has called you to that task? And then there's a different kind of following. God, remember, has called Andrew and Peter and Philip. It is Philip who found Nathanael. Have you searched for people to follow Jesus? Have you looked? Have you found people who are struggling with their lives and offered them a place, a fellowship where people can come to experience the profound love of God? If you found people under a fig tree or wherever you might find them, have you said something just as simple as, come and see? Now, I trust that nobody is here this morning simply because this is a fun place to be. It's a nice, friendly, social club. But we're here because here we see Jesus. We learn of him. And we join with others in servant ministry in the world. That's why we're here. When was the last time that you said to someone, come and see, come and see? We experience life with Christ here with one another and as we involve ourselves in servant ministries in the world. Come and see. Won't you come and join us? Won't you do that this week? We're going to sing in a moment, Master, Speak. The hymn echoes the language of Samuel responding to God. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth, Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? Let us pray. Master, speak and make us ready when your voice is truly heard. With obedience glad and steady, let us follow every word. We are listening, Lord, for you. Master, speak. Oh, speak to us. We pray in Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn you will find is an insert in the worship folder. I invite you to stand as we sing.
Oh,
Maybe it's in the stillness of the night. Maybe it's at work or school or on the playground or who knows where the Lord might make voice recognizable to you. Let us always be ready to hear the voice of God as God calls us to. May the peace and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.